The Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Joining me as my special guest on the program today is Ann Barnhart, formerly of Barnhart Capital Management. And Ann, you were a commodity broker for 8 years, and then you formed your own independent brokerage for 6 years. And a couple of weeks ago, you made the painful decision to shut your doors because you felt your clients' money and positions were no longer safe. What led you to draw those conclusions?
Well, obviously, it was the MF Global collapse, and more specifically, the fallout after the MF Global collapse and the reaction by the CFTC, the SEC, and most especially by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The actions specifically by the Merc after the MF Global collapse were unprecedented, unfathomable, and completely and totally intolerable. The Merc itself basically did the equivalent of sticking a 9mm in their mouth and pulling the trigger. By not stepping forward, backstopping the MF Global client accounts, and at the very least, the Merc should have allowed the MF Global customers to liquidate their accounts and then transfer to other firms. What the Merc did was the worst possible thing. They froze those people out of their accounts, didn't even allow them to liquidate while the markets continued to trade. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of that, the risk that those people were exposed to in the cattle business. And my forte is cattle. I'm actually a cash cattle person. And my brokerage business was geared almost exclusively towards livestock and grain. I have a lot of contacts in the cattle industry who didn't necessarily do their futures business with me, but were contacts of mine who did do business through brokers that cleared through MF, who lost tens of thousands of dollars on hedge positions that they wanted to get out of but could not get out of in the week and a half after the MF Global collapse. This has never happened before. This was a complete breach of fiduciary duty by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange itself, to the point that it literally has destroyed the entire paradigm. I got to the point where I could no longer tell my clients that their free cash customer funds, not even exposed to the marketplace, just their cash sitting in their account, non-margined, was not safe. I couldn't tell them that their money was safe. And at that point, it was morally incumbent upon me to get my clients out of this completely dysfunctional, basically destroyed marketplace, get them off those railroad tracks, and get them away from the risk. Now, I didn't clear through MF, but with the European collapse and knowing what we know about how these financial entities are leveraged in European paper and the cascading nature of all this, I had to act before the proverbial poop hit the fan. Because if you sit around and you wait until after the poop hits the fan, it's too late. You wouldn't get anybody out. So to me, it wasn't really a painful decision. It was a complete no-brainer.
In the past, when firms went under, customer funds were intact and the exchanges would step in, as you mentioned earlier, to backstop everything to keep customers 100% liquid. And normally a quick transfer from the bankrupt firm would be immediately replaced. Why do you think they did not allow that to happen this time?
You tell me. Like I said, I'll use the word again. It's suicidal. What they did was suicidal. So you're absolutely right. Up until last month on Friday, October 31st, the customer seg funds rule was utterly sacrosanct. Even when REFCO imploded, and imploded quite dramatically in 2005, no customer funds were gone. It was on the prop trading side of the company, but the customer funds were there, were accounted for, and it is the onus of the Mercantile Exchange to audit these FCMs. MF Global was under the auspices and under the supervision, the auditing supervision of the CME, and I believe that MF was audited not just annually, but quarterly. Also, there is the question of how in the world could the Merc miss the margin being posted. The Merc is supposed to be moving equity and doing margin wire transfers twice a day, every day. How could those customer funds be quote unquote missing. They aren't missing, they were stolen. They were stolen by John Corzine and his cadre of associates at MF Global. So yes, again, to your listeners who may not fully appreciate the gravity of this, this has never, ever happened before. Nothing even close to this has ever happened before. And it is the function of the mercantile exchange itself. The reason why the exchanges exist is that they stand in the middle of every transaction, and they act as the de facto counterparty to every single transaction so that, for example, my clients never had to worry about the creditworthiness of the other individual, whoever it might be, who was on the other side of any trade that they did. Now, for every buyer, there's a seller, that's right, and it's a one-for-one, it's a zero-sum game. But to ensure the creditworthiness and the integrity of the markets, the function of the mercantile exchange itself is to stand in the middle of every transaction and be the guarantor. So a year ago, when Terry Duffy held a press conference and said, never in the history of the mercantile exchange has a customer ever lost funds resulting from the collapse of a firm, he was telling the truth a year ago. Everything changed on Halloween of this year, though, and that's why I had to shut the doors of my brokerage, because I could not in good conscience continue forward knowing that the mercantile exchange was no longer going to fulfill their fiduciary duty.
In the futures market to begin with, which is highly leveraged, if you open up a futures contract, you're usually leveraged 10 to 1. So they require exceptional firm base on which to function. And the major integrity of the whole system is the segregation of customer funds. That was breached by MF Global. And let's not sugarcoat this, Ann. Basically, management stole all of the non-margin cash, invested it in highly speculative securities, and what has astonished me has been the reaction of the exchange and regulators. Where's the investigation into John Corzine?
Well, that's the point of this. We are now living in a lawless, Marxist, communist, usurped, what used to be a representative republic but is no more. This is no longer a nation of laws. This is now transformed into a nation of men. It doesn't matter what crime you commit. In the case of John Corzine, this man has stolen in excess of $1 billion. I think by the time it's all panned out, it's going to be closer to $3 billion of customer funds that he stole. Why did he do that? Is he stupid? Well, of course he's not stupid. This is a former head of Goldman Sachs. This man doesn't have a low IQ per se. Why in the world would a man wake up in the morning one day and say, you know what? I think I'm going to steal all the customer seg funds in this FCM that I'm running, which is the biggest FCM in the country. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. No. Why would a man like that even engage in a nefarious plot like this? Because he knew going into it that he could get away with it. And the reason he could get away with it is because he is in tight with the Obama regime. He is one of Obama's top fundraisers. This earlier this year, John Corzine had a fundraiser dinner at his New York City apartment for Barack Obama, where it was charged at $35,000 a plate. Okay? He bundled high six figures for Obama in one evening. He is a crony of the regime. This is Marxist communism. There is no rule of law. And these people, these poor MF customers, are just sitting out here helpless to do anything because there is no law enforcement, because this is no longer a nation of laws. The rule of law no longer exists. There is no longer justice in this nation. And no nation, no culture, no society can survive if there isn't a foundation of justice. That is why we are teetering on the precipice of collapse, and I foresee civil war coming within the next several years.
You know, we had Gerald Celente on this program, and he had an account with Lynn Waldock, and he's been trading futures and gold. He had a plan, and when he built up enough, he would take delivery on gold. They stopped him out of his trade, sequestered his margin or his cash, and forced him out of a trade and closed his account. So what you're talking about, because the exchange did not backstop and then froze customer accounts, they forced probably, and would you say millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of losses on these customers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If we're talking several billion in customer seg funds, then the losses that were incurred could easily, by the customers in that week, week and a half that they were frozen out, could easily get into the hundreds of millions. It might even breach into the low billions. No question about that. And and even with options, you know, I've talked to cattlemen who have had put options on as hedges to put a floor underneath the price of cattle. Okay, so imagine this. You buy a put option 4 months ago. You pay the premium. You post that money. Then this happens. You're frozen out of your account. Your account gets transferred to another firm without your consent. By the way, none of the customers were allowed any input into this. Their accounts were just sent to RJ O'Brien and other firms like that without their consent. And then once the positions were transferred, even if it was a risk-limited position like a long put option, then the new clearing firm called them the next morning after the trade settled and said, okay, there was no equity in your account because all that money got stolen, so you're going to have to pay the premium for this put option again. So it's doubling the cost, essentially, for a lot of these people out here who are dealing just in what's supposed to be the very risk-limited paradigm of long options. The entire situation could not have been handled any worse, and it, in fact, I would take it a step further. It was handled so poorly, I can't imagine that these people are that stupid at the Merck and at the CFTC and so forth. I can't believe that the bankruptcy trustee is that stupid. This almost seems like it was so bad that it had to have been nefarious.
You know, Anne, you believe that MF Global is just the tip of the iceberg, that there's massive industry exposure to European sovereign debt. In fact, the day you and I are doing this interview, the Fed just engineered a major swap with central banks. It was a central bank love fest on Wednesday of group money printing. So that tells me that central banks acting in unison the way they did on Wednesday, that they're afraid that there's something big out there that is about to happen, and they're trying to maybe plug a hole in the dike.
Well, if anybody out there understands fourth grade arithmetic, you know for a metaphysical certitude that Europe is done. Europe is mathematically impossible. It cannot be saved. I mean, you want to make a start. You even want to make a start at trying to bail out Europe. We're talking $25 trillion just to start. And it would then, if you were going to bail out the entirety of Europe, you would now be talking into the hundreds of trillions of dollars. Okay, people, there isn't that much wealth or money on the surface of the earth. The total gross domestic product of the entire planet Earth, I think, is just under $70 trillion. And we're talking about in excess of $100 trillion to bail out Europe. This is now mathematically impossible. These people have so leveraged themselves and so leveraged these governments in these countries, giving their brain-dead citizenry free handouts and entitlements, that it is now mathematically impossible to save the paradigm. It's not a matter of if the global financial system is going to collapse. Oh, it's going to collapse. You better trust and understand that. It's just a matter of when. And these piddling little maneuvers that these people are making, that the Fed is doing, oh, we're going to give Europe some money. Okay, what I saw this morning, what the Fed is getting ready to do in terms of Europe is going to keep Europe going for another 7 days. Well, fantastic. Thanks for that. And that's literally the brain dead mindset of these politicians. All they're doing is looking to kick the can down the road. At first, it was kick the can down another 10, 12 years. Then it's kick the can down the road for another year. And then it was, well, let's kick the can down the road for another few months. Now we're literally to the point where all we can do is kick the can down the road for a matter of a few days. It's not going to make it. I'll be very surprised if we make it to Christmas.
You know, one would have thought, Anne, after the 30 to 40 to 1 leverage leading up to the financial crisis of 2008, pre-Lehman, that financial firms would have learned, and especially a guy like John Corzine that saw Goldman have exposure to AIG with $13 billion of credit default swaps, which we bailed them out 100 cents on the dollar. Apparently, this lesson was not learned at MF Global, because what was the leverage? I think it was a figure like 100 to 1. It was just astounding.
The only only lesson that these criminal degenerates learned from the 2008 situation was that they could do anything they want and that pimp daddy government would bail them out. You have to understand, people like John Corzine, these are evil, evil people. He went into MF Global looking to rape that company personally for his own good. And that's what the motivation of a lot of these people are. You have to get your heads around this. You have to get your heads around the fact that there are truly evil people in the world who do not give a crap about anyone or anything except themselves, their own personal wealth, and their own personal power. And they would sell their grandmother to the Nazis for a nickel without hesitation if they thought they could get away with it. It's the same with people like John Corzine, and then we've talked about the fact that John Corzine is tied into the Obama regime, and we now know that the government is absolutely stuffed to the gills almost exclusively with this same type of moral degenerate culture. These people that are in the government, not just the Congress and the executive branch, but also in the bureaucracy, they're in it for themselves. They're in it for the money. And 2 weeks ago when we had the 60 Minutes expose on the insider trading, those of us who have been in the business have known intuitively that that was going on for a very, very long time. We knew that there was front running going on by politicians. A great example of this is someone like Harry Reid. Harry Reid, when he entered Congress, had a low six-figure net worth. He now has an eight-figure net worth, and he's never done anything except be a United States senator, the salary, I think, of which is something like $170,000 a year. How does that happen? How does a man with a $170,000 a year salaried position go from having a six-figure net worth to an eight-figure net worth? That doesn't make any sense unless he's doing nefarious, illegal, insider trading type deals. It's obvious what's been going on. You have to start acknowledging these people for what they are, and that is moral degenerates who are basically sociopaths and psychopaths, meaning they don't feel any sympathy or empathy for other human beings. The only thing they care about is themselves. They will do anything. They will steal. They will lie. They will cheat. They'll lie to your face. They'll look in a camera with this tremendous earnestness and lie with forked tongues through their teeth in order to advance their wealth and power. And if we as a people don't get real about this, if we keep having these Pollyanna visions that these people are all on our side and they're really looking out for us and they're doing the best they can, we will be corkscrewed into the ground and this nation will be reduced to a smoldering rubble. You've got to wake up.
You know, there's something even worse as you look into it. It's been hinted and that there could be possible clawbacks regarding MF Global. I wonder if you might explain that possibility and what a clawback means for, let's say you had an account at MF Global and, I don't know, you didn't feel comfortable with the commodities market, the volatility, you pulled your money out, there's a possibility they can go after you.
Oh, absolutely. Clawback is a fairly common tactic in bankruptcies. And what it is it's looking at the bankrupt entity and looking at the money that went out of that entity in the time period immediately preceding the collapse. And I don't know what time frame they would look at it, MF. I don't know if it would be 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. I have no idea. But the trustee has in the last 2 weeks said that, yes, clawback is on the table. So what that means is, let's say, for example, you're a savvy individual and you're a good steward of your money and you're doing business with a firm that clears through MF Global. You're looking at MF Global's publicly available bond yields. And you see in the 6 weeks before the collapse that their bond yields spiked parabolically. They went from 6% to 18%. That is a sure sign of massive trouble. And so being an intelligent, informed, aware person who is a good steward of their wealth, what do? You say, I'm getting out of this company. I'm getting my money out of MF Global because something bad is about to happen looking at these bond yields. You could also do the same thing looking at the stock price. You could do the same thing looking at downgrades by the ratings agencies. There's all kinds of ways that you could come to these conclusions. The other thing is if you're a hedger. If you're a bona fide hedger, if you have positions on and the market moves in favor of your hedge position on the futures side, you don't leave that equity sitting in your account. What your broker, like me, does is they wire that money home, because you're using that money probably to either offset a cash transaction or to pay down a revolving line of credit. You're not getting any interest on your money sitting in MF Global, so you might as well get that equity out of there, send it home, and pay down your line of credit so you're not paying interest on that money. Okay, so there would organically have been lots and lots of money flowing out of that company in the period immediately before the collapse, either due to natural hedge, organic in and out functions, or due to intelligent people looking at the bond yields and saying, uh-oh, we better get out of here. The bankruptcy trustee can legally claw that money back. Say, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to dive into your pocket now, and I'm going to claw back your money, which you, in your responsibility and in your good stewardship, pulled out of a company that you knew to be in trouble. Oh, yeah. So these MF customers, they will essentially be raped three times. They will have their cash stolen out of their accounts. They were then locked out of their position so that they couldn't trade and were fully exposed to market risk, paralyzed, unable to do anything for an excess of a week. And then number three rape is having the bankruptcy trustee come back and literally seize money out of your own personal checking accounts and business accounts and so forth, and clawing it back to feed this bankrupt entity. And you know what the cherry on top of the sundae of all this is? And this is what blows my mind. The bankruptcy trustee, right now, as this is being recorded on the 30th of November, the bankruptcy trustee is still allowing MF Global to trade proprietarily for itself, for the company proper. It's unbelievable. Wow. The rule of law is dead in this country.
You know, adding to this, just prior to that, was the restructuring of Greek debt, where the Derivatives Association announced that it was a voluntary restructuring, so therefore the bankers didn't have to pay out on credit default swaps. So what you have here, Ann, I believe, is a system where the government is protecting the too big to fail at the expense of the customers, and with it, the rule of law is thrown out to protect Wall Street. What does that say about the integrity of the system? It's no wonder people are losing faith.
There is no integrity in the system. And let's make it simple. It's not just about the government protecting the quote-unquote too-big-to-fail banks. It's about criminal oligarchs as individuals protecting each other. They don't give a crap about the customers of J.P. Morgan or, you know, Citi or Goldman or anything. What they care about is each other. Okay? The Obama regime is protecting John Corzine proper, the individual, because he is one of them. He is one of these criminal oligarchs. And for those of your listeners who may not remember, John Corzine is a former congressman. But immediately preceding MF Global, he was the governor of New Jersey, and he just corkscrewed Jersey into the ground. And it's Chris Christie who beat John Corzine to become the governor of New Jersey. Because, okay, so yes, this Republican, Chris Christie, was elected in New Jersey, uber liberal blue state New Jersey, because Corzine financially destroyed that state. And again, this guy is, of Corzine, is former head of Goldman. He's not stupid. You have to stop thinking that these people are just misguided or that there's some sort of a difference of opinion on economic theory. These people are nefariously trying to destroy everything in this country. It's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. Go in and destroy and collapse the entire economy, everything, and then rebuild a new, basically, Marxist socialist fascist state out of the burning rubble of this destruction. This is intentional. This is nefarious. This is not a function of incompetence. It's a function of malice aforethought and conscientious theft and destruction.
What would you advise? I'm a long-term believer in the bull market and commodities, but how do you play commodities when the futures market is no longer secure? And what does this do to the proper functioning of the markets? In other words, now that you've closed your firm because you don't believe in the integrity of the system, and we've just listed a series of reasons why, not honoring contracts, appropriating funds, not allowing trades to go off, and not one investigation. In fact, this goes even further than that. We had Bill Black, who was involved in the SNL scandal. And the SNL scandal, 2,000 individuals went to jail. There has not been one criminal charge brought by the Justice Department since the 2008 crisis. So given that this is where we are, what do you advise and what will you do personally?
Well, get the hell out. Get out of all paper. And it's not just the commodities markets. This is going to cascade through everything. It's going to get into the equities. It's going to get into 401ks and IRAs. It's going to get into pension plans and so on and so forth. Total systemic collapse. Get out. I don't know how I can be any more plain about this. I say this over and over and over again, and then I get scads of emails saying, well, I can't get out of my 401k. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Take the penalty and get the hell out of there. What would you rather do? Would you rather pay the 10% penalty, or would you rather have it all go up in smoke? Because that's what we're staring down the barrel of. Number two, we seem to have this backwards. In terms of what I do, cattle and grain specifically, the futures markets are the derivative. The futures markets are derived from the actual cash commodity markets. Now, I'm blessed because my area of expertise is actually in the physical cash markets, actual cattle on the hoof. So I have a consulting firm, and I'll continue to teach cattlemen how to trade actual physical cattle. But yeah, to all the people out there listening, you're going to have to get away from paper and get back into physical commodities, the real deal. Anything that's on paper, anything that involves a promise or a commitment is no longer valid because, as we've said, there isn't a rule of law anymore. People can steal from you. Your money can be confiscated. And think how easy now it is to confiscate people's wealth. Most of our wealth in this society exists as zeros and ones on a computer server. It takes no effort whatsoever to steal zeros and ones on a computer server. So what I've been telling people is you need to get into physical commodities. And the rule of thumb is that if you can stand in front of it with an assault rifle and physically protect it, then it's real. It's a real commodity. That includes food. That includes water. That includes long guns and ammunition. That includes fuel. That includes precious metals, gold and silver coinage, most especially silver coinage, because silver is the metal of barter and transaction and currency. Gold is the storage metal because it's so valuable per ounce. And also silver is extremely undervalued relative to gold because that market has been synthetically suppressed for the last several years by, again, these nefarious actors. So, yeah, reallocate into physical commodities.
How do you know that somebody like, just as we saw in 2008 or recently with MF Global, that somebody like a Goldman, a JP Morgan, which was writing credit default swaps on European debt, how do you know if you have an account with this group that they pledge your assets for collateral or they commingle them with the firm's assets, and then what do you do?
Oh, exactly. Corzine isn't alone in this. The reason the MF Global situation happened the way it did is, as we alluded to earlier, because Corzine had that company just suicidally leveraged. He took those customer funds and then leveraged it into European sovereign junk paper at about 100-to-1 ratio. Okay, massive, massive leverage. That's why his collateral call was the first one to come and why it took him out, because he was so heavily leveraged. Don't kid yourself. These other entities are doing the same thing. It's just that they're not as heavily leveraged as Corzine was. So, yes, the entire paradigm is no longer trustworthy. There is no meaningful government or industry-wide regulation, and I've been saying this for years, that regulation in the financial industry in the United States, both government-based and private regulation, private industry regulation, is a monstrous, monstrous joke. The top tier of those organizations are evil, nefarious people. The mid-level are halfway stupid, halfway evil, who, again, are just there to collect their salary paycheck and will say and do anything that they're told, and who really don't understand the business that they're trying to regulate. And then the lower level, the grunts, the actual auditors who go out on site, a lot of those people are super incompetent, affirmative action hires, and yes, I said it, and I'm not ashamed of it. They are affirmative action hires. They have no business being there doing what they're doing. They're also hiring a lot of kids 15 minutes out of college who literally are reading off a script and couldn't audit a company if their life depended on it. And so what they do is they send these incompetent people out into the field and into lower management, and then when the poop hits the fan, they blame them. It's absolutely evil, and it's a complete joke. And Madoff was the first proof of that. There have been other Ponzi schemes since Madoff happened that haven't gotten as much notoriety, but there was a big one in the futures industry that all of the FCMs were invested in. And the regulatory body of the futures industry, the NFA, they audited that Ponzi scheme. They totally missed it. They even admitted that they signed off on it because they really didn't understand what they were doing. I mean, that's the level of incompetence and evil that we're talking about in terms of these regulatory bodies. The only way to fix this is to shut the whole damn thing down and start from scratch. And I'm personally looking within the next decade for the emergence of a new exchange in the United States. Word on the street is that it might happen in Dallas, and I'd be fully in favor of that. Start over from scratch.
All right. Well, the message, get physical and protect yourself. We've been speaking with Ann Barnhart, formerly of Barnhart Capital Management. Ann, I want to thank you for coming on the program and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.